Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I'm really glad that you could join me today. It's a sober day, isn't it? For all of us, there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to be concerned about. And my guess is that many of you are feeling some of the same things that I'm feeling. Angry, frustrated, just real pissed off about a lot of different kinds of things and a lot of things that happened yesterday and the implications of those things. So we're going to talk about it, but we're also going to do the show, and I'm going to talk about why I'm going to sort of do things the way I'm going to do them today. So the purpose of this show, I'm going to use my reading glasses, which they're the ones from Costco. So they're uncomfortable and they're blurry, but they get the job done. So the purpose of the show is to provide a space where you can bring your attention and awareness to the present moment, to give yourself time and an opportunity to relax into this moment and find places in your experience that resonate with the topics that we talk about so that you're having an opportunity to deepen your understanding of yourself as you become a student of your own mind. My topics are intended to support people, of course, in their mindfulness journey, which is mindfulness, bringing our awareness to the present moment without judgment. It's a simple goal, and today of all days, it can be devilishly difficult to achieve. But its value is that mindfulness practices bring us greater internal peace. And being peaceful within ourselves allows us to bring more peace into the world. And being the source of peace in the greater world is, for me today, essential. Yesterday's treasonous assault on the peaceful transfer of power in our country cannot go unmentioned. It was a despicable display of disrespect, not just for a building that's symbolic value is important to all of us, not just for our elected officials and the staff and crew that support the functioning of our government, but for our country, for everyone who has ever served this country in any capacity, and that is all of us. But I noticed today, I think there's kind of a feeling in the atmosphere that reminds me a little bit of September 12th, 2001, the day after 9/11, right? One of the things that happened in those days immediately after is that people that I mocked at the time, including the president, George Bush, said, you know, we need to get back to our daily life. We don't want to hide in our homes. We don't want to stop the work of our country because something horrible has happened. And he really put it in the context of, you know, go shop. And that's what I mocked at the time. So I'm not encouraging people to go shopping, but there was a phrase that was used in that context at the time, and that was, don't let the terrorists win. And that's something that I think is worth thinking about today and bringing back into our awareness. What would it mean for the terrorists to win in this context? Not only would they have subverted the peaceful transfer of power, and you know, there are a lot of elected officials in this country I don't particularly like or agree with, but I really appreciate that they showed up last night, that they went back to work and they completed their objective. They completed their work. They took their responsibilities seriously. Seriously, and they did their job. And that's, to me, was not letting the terrorists win. But in the context of mindfulness, of doing this podcast, of working with my clients, of talking to all of you, I also think that not letting the terrorists win means not letting them rob me of my peace of mind, and also not letting them rob me of hope. I just won't allow it. It's tempting. This can feel like an incredibly hopeless moment, but I'm going to work against that. I'm going to work against that with today's show and with the work that I hope to continue to do, and with some of the questions I'm asking myself about how I spend my time and energy in this particular historical moment in which, for whatever reason, I exist. So this has always been the original intention for today's show, which is to talk about a word for the year. I had a wonderful friend when I lived in Illinois, still a friend, a woman named Laura Bush, and we were in a book group together, and as the year changed at one point, she suggested that instead of establishing resolutions, which many people do and find helpful, and many people do and find actually extremely unhelpful, that creating resolutions can also often be an opportunity to simply beat yourself up about something new. And so I could see the wisdom of not creating resolutions. But she said that what she did instead was that she identified a word, a concept, that she kept as a kind of touchstone throughout the year. So just as a coincidence, I suppose, given world events or local events, I chose for this year perspective, that I wanted to bring a kind of radical attention. Like I want to come to the roots of my own experience of perspective and really think about what it means to see the world from only my perspective, which I don't mean to suggest that I don't try to see the world from others' perspectives, but to take seriously that I have a perspective, that it shapes everything that I see. It shapes how I think. It shapes how I interpret what's happening around me. And that it's sometimes when we lose track of that, when we forget, that we get into a lot of not only mindless behavior, but kinds of interactions with others that are not helpful, that often lead to conflict and misunderstanding. So that's what we're going to talk about today is perspective, my word for 2021. We're going to talk about it, of course, in the context of our a very micro level of coming to understand and really developing practices in our daily life that keep us reminding ourselves about our perspective, or at least that's what I'm going to do. Maybe you'll choose a different word for 2021. And then look at this, the larger picture, the macro perspective, if you will, to talk about what does it mean to say that I see the world from a different perspective than others. So, but first, as you know, what we do is, and I don't have to do this with glasses on, we breathe. So we're going to do the three breaths where we bring our hands to heart center on the inhale. We interlace our fingers and push our palms forward on the exhale. We raise our hands over our head on an inhale, and then we release our hands on the exhale. Okay, so we're going to do this three times, and if you'd join me, that would be wonderful. So inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale, inhale, inhale, okay. Thanks for joining me on that. You know, we bring our attention to our breath that way so that we can find times throughout the day to bring our attention to our breath. And when we do that, maybe we take three deep breaths or we do this particular practice, it is calming, it's focusing, and it allows us to pause in the hurly-burly of the day and to restore our energy a little bit. And I think this is a great day for that. So another practice that I've been thinking about a lot because I walk every day, and I'll be talking more about walking in a moment, is and one I suggest to you is if you have a walking practice, one of the things that can help you, I think, really get started in that practice of creating a kind of mindfulness or meditative walk, that can be hard to do for a whole walk to stay present to the moment. But one thing, in addition, you might use it as a breathing practice. But what I do is feet and path. I really, throughout my walking practice, try to concentrate on only those two things. Now, one of the things that helps with that is that we walk in the dark. And so focusing on feet and path is really kind of a survival technique. But I really encourage it. If whatever the kind of practice that you have, sometimes bringing our awareness into our bodies. You know, our bodies are where our emotions are moving around, right? And you are noticing this, right, in these last 24 hours. How do you feel in your body? Not just what is your mind doing, where is it spinning off to? What are the fears and anxieties you may be thinking about, but where are you feeling that in your body? So having a practice that includes that kind of body awareness can be incredibly helpful. So as I say, what I focus on is my feet. When I'm walking up a hill, across the parking lots, wherever our path may take us, it not only keeps me safer, but it keeps me in my body, which, and keeping myself in that bodily awareness, is part of keeping myself in the present moment. So that's just a little tip for today. So when we come back, we're going to talk about perspective, and we're going to talk about it first as what can we do to bring our awareness to the fact that we have a perspective. And to be noticing it, if that's going to be your word for the year or just an opportunity, just something to think about this week, is how can I become aware of how my perspective is always shaping what I see, how I see, what I believe, how I believe. Okay, so we'll take a break. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and I'll see you after the break.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Are you searching? Are you searching? Looking for a sign? I'm listening for a sign. A message you need to hear?
Is anybody out?
From the great unknown, from the most mysterious place, that is the most familiar to your soul, in the depths of who you are. The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to, that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Are you tired of being bloated and nauseous? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know eating unhealthy foods eventually leads to an unhealthy digestive system? Did you know eating the most healthy, nutritious food doesn't necessarily result in a healthy body? The stomach must be healthy in order to properly digest, metabolize, and utilize even the best of nutrition. Without proper digestion from the stomach through the intestinal tract, the nutritious value is not absorbed, and the improperly digested food can be more toxic to your body than helpful. You can be doing all the right things and getting all the wrong results. In fact, other organs may also be interfering with your stomach's ability to digest. With CRA, we are able to determine the specific cause of the digestive issue and use the proper nutrition to correct the imbalance. Contact us today for your appointment at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. So today we're trying to wrestle a little bit with perspective and the challenges of of recognizing, of being in mindful awareness that we are seeing the world from a perspective. And what I'm going to suggest in this right now is, put my glasses back on so I can see my notes. I'm really eager to get real glasses. So what I'm going to suggest is that the first step, and it's, you know, do you not know you have a perspective? Of course you do. Of course you know you have a perspective. So in that sense, I don't mean this as in any kind of corrective, like you don't know something. Of course you know that. But isn't it difficult, or is it just me, to always know it? And what does it mean when we lose track of that knowledge? So, but I want to start with, how can we become, and throughout our daily lives, and what am I doing in my daily life, since perspective is my word for 2021, to become more aware of it, to have a deeper, more radical understanding of how perspective shapes every aspect of my life. So my first step always with any kind of practice is to go small, right? Low stakes. What's at the micro level? So this morning, I'm just trying to notice it throughout my daily life. So on the walk that my partner and I took this morning, as I mentioned, this time of year, we go around 6 a.m., so it's dark. And we were walking up the hill that we always walk up, and it's near my partner's dentist's office. And she said, you know, yesterday, after the dentist, I drove up this hill. She said, it's really a terrible road. There are a lot of potholes and things that I never notice because we walk up this hill in the dark. And how much does that happen in the course of our lives, right? There are places that are very familiar to us, right? I can walk up that hill in the dark and feel pretty safe in terms of knowing my surroundings, of knowing where we happen to walk, there are no potholes. So I've never particularly noticed them before. We're almost always walking up the hill rather than down. And I think that really shapes our experience of it. But we're walking in the dark, not the light. And we're walking, not driving. So I imagine she hit a couple of those potholes, and that's what made her think about it. So in terms of perspective, one of the things we can notice is, in a literal sense, when are we in the dark and when are we in the light? And how does something as simple and literal as dark and light obscure certain things and reveal certain things? Maybe you think about, or could think about, the city you live in or the town. What are some neighborhoods that you never drive through during the day? You only see them at night. Or the opposite, places you only see in the daylight. You don't know what they're like at night in the dark. I think that starting to look at the world around us and our habits and places we go, and recognizing, when do I see this place? Under what conditions? And how is that part of my perspective of this place and how it functions? On the walk also, one of the things my partner and I always notice is that when we first started walking, and she's much more physically active and fit than I am, I was struggling to get up the hill, and she would always say to me, I always look down when I'm walking up the hill. I don't want to see, it's about a 5-block incline. And she said, you know, I don't want to look up to the top because it just makes me feel like I'm never going to get there. And that was fine, but I didn't like it. I didn't like looking down all the time, partly because I don't have very good posture. And one of the things I'm trying to do on the walk is have better posture. So if I'm always looking down, I'm kind of in my usual hunched over position. So I started really pushing myself to look up, kind of, you know, tuck my tailbone a little bit as I was walking, focusing on my feet and spreading my feet out so that I was, you know, getting some stretching in my feet, which was really helpful with bunions, blah, blah, blah. Too much information. But we walk up the hill differently, my partner and I. I walk with my head up. She walks with her head down. It's a simple difference. It does shape and note and influence what we see and what we notice and how we experience the walk. Is it a metaphor for differences in how we see the world? I might not go that far. But it is one of those places of just noticing somebody I see every single day, live with, share so much with. There are certain, how many other ways is she looking down when I'm looking up? Or am I looking down when she's looking up? Right. We literally are not in the same subject position. We literally do not see the world the same way. And so if I can bring conscious awareness to that, when I think we're about to have an argument, right? When I think we disagree about something, when I feel pushed by something that she's said into a place I don't like to go, how can I take a pause in that moment and bring myself back and say, is this her trying to get under my skin or being mean to me? Is this that we see the world differently? That she's looking down and I'm looking up. I think an experience I had many years ago really helped me to notice perspective. I lived in a town that an F3 tornado blew through. And I'd grown up in the Midwest, and this was in the Midwest, so I'd seen a lot of tornado coverage on the news over the years. There was nothing new about that. But what shocked me and what I had never thought about before was that when I saw the tornado coverage on the news, I essentially saw pictures in a box, right? So I saw maybe a house badly damaged, or I saw the roof blown off of a school, or I saw trees down, but I never saw all of that at once. So when I think about my own perspective, one of the things I try to remember and try to think about every time I'm looking at the world is, what's beyond the frame? What is the frame? Perhaps it's a better first question. And what's beyond the frame? Is there a frame here? Sometimes I don't notice the frame. If you'd said to me, you know, do you really know what a tornado looks like, the aftermath? I think I would have believed that I did. And I tell you, I did not. I did not know what it looked like to live in a town where every single street had trees down and roofs blown off, where cars were destroyed, where there was garbage 2 feet high in a parking lot, where it was hard. Daily life was incredibly difficult. The simplest things became incredibly difficult to accomplish, and where people felt scattered and isolated and also really brought together as a community. I'd never seen past the frame. I had no idea what the aftermath of a tornado looks like. But how often is that the case? And especially in such a media-saturated community and world that we live in, we think we've seen a lot of stuff. We think we know what's happening, I think, a lot of the time. And so one of the things we can ask ourselves as we want to become more, I do anyway, more aware of my perspective is, what's the frame around this thing that I'm seeing? And what's beyond that frame? And how can I know? And that's, you know, another kind of question, that big question of, how can I know? What's beyond the frame? What's beyond my perspective? And how easy it is to lose track that there is a frame, there is a perspective, there is something shutting out the rest of what I know. My partner and I moved to Tacoma about a year and a half ago, and it's a very different climate from where we lived in the Midwest. And we bought a cute house that's on the side of a hill, and it's across from Commencement Bay. And a couple weeks ago, we, you know, as I say, take this daily walk. But we got up in the morning and the fog was so thick, I literally could not see the cars parked on the street, you know, 20 yards below the house. I couldn't see the neighbor's house across the street. I surely could not see the bay out in front of us. It was so fogged in. And it was so thick, because we've walked in fog before, that we actually said, we didn't feel safe. We couldn't see our hands in front of our face. I'm sure we could have, but it felt that we couldn't see to the end of the block. It just felt scary. So we said, no, well maybe we'll walk later, maybe it'll clear up. So we proceeded through our morning and early afternoon, and it was still pea soup, as they say, out front. And then I was in the back of the house, and I must have been taking the trash out or something, and I looked up and there was some blue sky to the west. So I said to my partner, hey, let's drive to one of the parks on the west side of town, basically, and go for a walk there, because at least it's breaking up over there. So we got in the car and we drove about 3 blocks. And it was completely clear. There was no fog. There was only fog in our neighborhood and across the bay from us. We were trapped in our own perspective, this fogged in place. We couldn't see what was beyond the fog. We didn't, and for those hours, we didn't actually believe there was a non-foggy place in our immediate environment, within walking distance, essentially, of our house, if we'd walked in the other direction. It never occurred to us. So one of those questions we want to ask if we're going to think about our perspective and how it's shaping how we see the world is, am I in the fog? Am I in a fog here? Or is the thing I'm looking at in the fog? One of the things we love about this house is that on a clear day, and it turns out on a clear day there and here, we can see Mount Rainier. The top of it anyway, it's about 60 miles off in the distance. And it's so large, 14,000 feet, that even 60 miles away, you can have a pretty good view of it. But there are days, and you know, that foggy day was one of them. We didn't see Rainier. We didn't even imagine the possibility. We got out of the fog and there it was. And there are other days when it's clear here, but it's not clear 60 miles away. And Rainier is in the fog. So it's when we think about and acknowledge that we have a perspective, that we are in a particular place and time and identity, and that it is shaping how we see the world, how we think about things, how we feel, what we believe, it's worth asking these kinds of questions. Where is clarity? Not necessarily objectivity, and I actually don't, as a human, I don't think I'm capable of that, but I think I am capable of understanding more, of seeing beyond what is in my immediate environment. So where is there a vantage point that helps me see things differently and ideally more clearly? If I think about the trouble that our nation faces literally today, you know, usually when I do this show, I don't pay much attention to the news on the day of the show because I'm trying to focus on this. And, you know, I'm checking headlines at the breaks. I'm checking headlines before the show because I think we are in an incredibly difficult and important moment. I'm not hopeless, so I won't say just negative about it, but it is an important moment. And so that's what we're going to talk about when I come back, is what does for this year, for me, focusing on perspective, how does that help me make sense of, think about, and act from a place of clarity and confidence in this difficult moment we're living through? So you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back after the break.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to transformationtalkradio.com or visit Susan's website at susandolce.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on transformationtalkradio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no, or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that demands you do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
Talk radio. So we are here to talk about mindfulness. And in that context today, specifically, we want to talk about perspective. And how is having a clear, reminding myself, knowing, acknowledging that I see the world from a particular perspective, how does that help me stay in a kind of embodied, mindful moment? So I've been talking about some kind of micro examples of ways that bringing a word like perspective to bear as my touchstone for the year is an opportunity to think about perspective, to remind myself, and to notice, above all, to notice, how is this moment being shaped by my perspective or shaping my perspective? What information do I have? How do I think about that information? What informs my way of thinking about things? And some kind of literal ways of thinking about it. When am I in the dark? When am I in the light? When is there a frame shaping what I know? What's beyond the frame? When am I in the fog? When is the thing I'm looking at in the fog and unclear to me? And what's a vantage point I can get to that allows me to see the world maybe from someone else's perspective, from a new perspective, or with more clarity? All of those kinds of questions are the ones I know I'm going to be asking myself day in and day out this year. So before I talk about what happened yesterday in Washington, D.C., and in state capitals, including my own, around the country, I want to tell a story on myself because I think it's on myself because I don't feel super proud of what I did. But when I was a very young faculty member at a small college in Minnesota, I had an older colleague, and it was my first year at the school, and it was his final year at the school. He was retiring at the end of the year. And I used to complain to one of my colleagues who was more in my age group and time at the institution, that about it's once a week, which is a terrible exaggeration. This probably happened four times throughout the year. He would come to me, usually in the morning when we were both getting ready for classes, and he would say, "Mary Angela, did you go to?" And he would name some event that had happened on campus that I had not attended. Or he would say, "Have you read?" And he would name some little publication or something that somebody else had put out on campus that he thought was extremely important and that I hadn't read. And so whenever I disappointed him and would say, "Oh, nope, I didn't get to that event. Nope, I haven't read that yet," he would kind of shake his head. He was nice about it. You know, he was well-meaning, but he would say, "You know, it's really important. This is, you know, this is really the heart of this institution, this event, this publication, this idea." And I would feel a little bit bad, like maybe I was misunderstanding how to be there, or what the place meant, all those things. But then one day, it dawned on me that I'd been to every play produced on campus. I'd been to every dance concert. I'd been to a lot of lectures, and I'd never seen him at any of those. He didn't go to the same things I went to. He just didn't. And that was really the difference between us. It wasn't that I was doing the wrong thing and not understanding the institution. And it isn't that he was wrong about what he thought and had learned in a 40-year career at the institution was important, at least from his perspective, maybe from the perspective of his generation, maybe from the perspective of his discipline. And the discipline that we were in together had changed a lot over time. So maybe I made different choices because I had obviously a different perspective. And I teased my friend, and my friend and I would joke about it and say, and this is the part I'm not proud of, that it was a little bit like the cry of a dinosaur from him to say, "Oh, why are we extinct?" And it was because in some ways he was holding on, I thought, to things that were not as important, or that were not as universally important, or that were important but not for everyone necessarily. And when I think about what happened yesterday in the Capitol, on the one hand, I am deeply offended by people trying to subvert the peaceful transfer of power, because I wasn't a political science major, but I know enough about politics and history and government to know that that peaceful transfer of power is one of the, if not perhaps, I think it is the most important thing. It is what sets us apart from countries that do not have any level of peace and stability. It is what has allowed a democracy to continue, imperfectly though it has, for all of these years, for this country to still be the United States of America. So for people to believe that disrupting that and bringing that to a halt is patriotism, that's just wrong. There, I just disagree. There's no way in which that is true. So I think about and try to understand then, and this is what, of course, why we all think about perspective, or one of the reasons. It's important for me to know what I bring to it, and I think I just told you what I bring to it in terms of my understanding or interpretation of what those folks were doing. At the same time, I do have the desire to understand their perspective. Just as I mocked my colleague, I also wanted to understand my colleague and to understand why the things that he thought were important were important. Not because I was going to agree with him, but because, although I did in some places, but not in others, but because there is value in understanding another person's perspective. So I look at those people who were there yesterday, and a few thousand, I don't know, it wasn't really that big of a crowd. And to me, it is the cry of dinosaurs. It is people who know that their time has passed. And they weren't all elder people like my colleague. There were some very young people in that crowd, of course. But if I look at reality, and you know, I always push this, it's what's the evidence? Yes, there are those folks, and they were amazingly effective at disrupting law and order yesterday. But there was also an election on Tuesday, when an African-American man and a Jewish man won Senate seats in Georgia. And their victory, along with Joe Biden's, is beholden to an African-American woman named Stacey Abrams, as well as her organization and many other organizations that have insisted that everybody who's allowed to vote should vote. So to me, it was one of the saddest things about yesterday was that it drowned out that incredible victory. But that victory gives me hope, and it pushes me into thinking about if I was one of the people in Washington trying to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power, I would look at those victories and I think I would be scared. I think I would wonder if my time has passed. I've never really understood, and I don't know, and if you have an idea of how you could help me understand this, I'd be grateful to you. It's hard for me to understand how people feel threatened by what I think of as civil rights issues. But I do think that when I look at the people in those videos from yesterday, there's rage, there's aggression, but there's also fear. Fear that something is being lost, that their way of thinking about the world is no longer considered right. And again, I will say, I do think they're right. Because you know what? My partner and I aren't going back in the closet. I promise you that. And neither are any of my friends who are out. We're out. We're staying out. It's my favorite New Yorker cartoon of all time where the man says, no, we're not going to the Pride Parade. We're here. We're queer. We're used to it. We're just out. And nothing's going to change that. And I can say sometimes that I'm afraid, you know, of a military that take over that tries to put us in concentration camps, but I don't actually really believe that that will happen. And likewise, I don't believe that African Americans or any other people of color or immigrants are going to accept second-class status again and second-class citizenship. I don't think that's going to happen. That doesn't mean that they aren't going to still be treated by some as second-class citizens. That doesn't mean that there isn't voter suppression. But do I believe that they will, I don't know what people imagine, but somehow allow that to happen in a widespread way again, systematically, like Jim Crow days? I don't believe that. Any more than I believe that women are going to go back to having back alley abortions routinely because it's going to be outlawed. And yeah, I know there are all those scary judges, but that isn't enough. Maybe I'm a cockeyed optimist. I definitely feel cockeyed with these glasses. But I just don't believe that those things are going to happen at such a rate that the dinosaurs from yesterday are going to feel victorious. So I understand their fear. I think it's well-founded, except that I don't think that they have anything to fear from me or you or women who want control of their bodies or citizens who want the right to vote and to have decent jobs and a good education and healthcare. I just don't think the people who want those things are that scary. But the one thing that really stood out to me yesterday, in addition to what I saw as people's fear, was the perspective of police. And I thought some of the images that we see from yesterday really demonstrate the power of perspective. Many of the police officers in the Capitol Police were white, not all, but many were. And I think we can have a kind of conspiratorial analysis of this, and I do think that our police generally are over-militarized, but I also think there is a level at which their responses were not conscious and were not calculated. I think they saw and anticipated seeing people who looked like them, and simply on the basis of that, they were not afraid. And that's why they were overrun. And everyone is, you know, one of the things people keep saying is, what if these had been African-American people in a Black Lives Matter protest, right? I think that's exactly right, not only because of racism, but because of perspective, of the physiological response those officers would have had to seeing someone who is different from them, the tension they would have immediately felt in their body, the willingness to anticipate that this was going to be a fight. Instead, they were relaxed because they saw people who looked like them. And to me, that is the thing that we have to be most aware of. That is a pernicious problem that we have to get a hold of. And that's one of the things and the challenges I'm making for myself this year is, how can I have a better understanding of and be engaged with the local police in my community to understand how policing functions, how we can reduce the militarization of our police force, and how we can help diversify the police force so that people are not always facing people who are different from them or people who are like them, and that really shapes their response. But I think it's the militarization that's the problem, as well as the images that are, you know, our media is saturated with of violent protests. When if you turned the camera, right, what was outside of the frame was a peaceful protest. What was in the frame was maybe somebody who was not there because they were part of the peaceful protest, but because they were there to cause trouble, right? All of those things. And yesterday is included in that. I want to know what was outside of the frame. I've seen interviews with women who said, I saw an image, I will say this, of barricades being pushed over, a police officer being pushed down, and two women went around the barricade who were protesters and helped the officer up. You know, good for them, but why were you pushing down the barricade in the first place? Why were you able to? Because the police were not on guard. They were not fists up. They were not prepared for that level of violence because they saw people who looked like them. I'm convinced of it. So, perspective. It shapes everything. It shapes what we believe. It shapes how we function. It shapes how we respond in every moment. So we're going to take our final break. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and I'll see you after the break.
Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by your mind? Powerless when it seems to spin in worry circles or bombard you with self-critical thoughts? Do you want to learn how to master your mind and feel more in control of your life? Listen to Dr. Friedman's Empowerment Radio. Shift from confusion to clarity, self-doubt to confidence, and from anxiety to peace and balance. Dr. Friedman and his many guest experts share the insights and tools you want to live with greater ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in to Empowerment Radio every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an international
internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truths, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the Energy Paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The Energy Paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to TransformationRadio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope our conversation today has been soothing. Because as I said at the beginning of the conversation, yesterday's terrible actions in Washington, D.C., where people claiming to be patriots tried, but who really are treasonous in their activities, tried to prevent the peaceful transfer of power, the most central aspect of our democratic processes, something that is at the heart of what it means to be the United States of America. It was incredibly upsetting, frustrating, riled up. I'm sure like me, all many of you felt it in deep in your insides, right? In this funny, well, not very funny, but interesting way, what an opportunity to really notice that what's happening in your minds and is really having an impact on our bodies, that we feel it in our bodies, the tension, the anxiety, the fear. And so to quote George Bush, which I can't imagine that was ever going to happen, we can't let the terrorists win. We can't let the treasonous seditionists win. And that means that we can't give them our peace of mind. We can't give them our hope. We can't curl up in a ball, hide in our houses, and allow them to imagine that they represent more than a very small group of citizens of this country. So we're talking about that today, even though our topic really is about perspective, but it's appropriate, isn't it? So one of the things I encourage you to be thinking about, if you might choose perspective like I did as your 2021 word, is to start small, start local with yourself, start really noticing in the most easygoing, everyday, low-stakes ways what perspective means to you, how your perspective is at work in your everyday life, and how what you see and experience in your everyday life is both shaped and understood based on your perspective, and it contributes to your perspective. If the lights are out, I see one thing. If the lights are on, I see something else. If I want to think about what's beyond the frame of what I immediately see, to know that there is something beyond the frame, and I want to take that into account too, that the frame might be literal, it's the frame of what I can see on the television, or the frame is me. It's my education, it's my background, it's my family experience that shapes shape and put a frame around how I understand the world around me. To ask ourselves, when does that frame fog over? Oh gosh, this is a painful metaphor because suddenly, but when is there fog that is keeping me from seeing things with some clarity or as others might see it? And when is the thing I'm looking at the thing that's in the fog and I'm in the clear? And how do I move to get a different perspective, a different vantage point? I think those things are critical in order for us to have to be more mindful in our everyday lives. That's part, it seems to me, of bringing our full awareness to the present moment without judgment, is to notice that we are doing that from a perspective, that we are seeing the world in the present moment from a perspective. And it can allow us then, when that is, that noticing happens, to slow down, to take a pause, to not jump into the fray of a conflict, but to say, okay, how is my perspective at work here before I jump in, so that I can be responsive rather than reactive to what's happening around me. I want to quote my favorite Buddhist psychologist, Jack Kornfield, or one of the two, Tara Brach's the other. But here's what he wrote today on his Facebook page. As we move through this beautiful and troubled world, may we vow to be a beacon of peace, a fearless carrier of respect and loving kindness for all life, a teller of truth, a voice for justice, a protector of those who are vulnerable or targeted. May the power of wisdom, integrity, and compassion be our guide. And I would say, and I suspect he would too, even in the presence of those for whom we have, we feel frustration, I say this with compassion, which is not the same as sympathy or empathy. I can understand how, I suppose, you might, if you believe something that you would call your way of life is at stake, that you would react with the kind of arrogance and aggression that we saw yesterday in the Capitol of the United States. But I acknowledge that. I acknowledge two other things. One, I don't really think you, I understand why you're afraid. I don't think you have reason to be afraid, but you are right that the world has changed around you, and some values and some beliefs that you might have had and held onto for a very long time, they are going the way of the dinosaurs. You can count on that. It's already happened. That ship has sailed, and it's not coming back. And there may be fighting, and there'll be ugly court cases, and there'll be difficult elections, and yada, yada, yada. All that's going to happen. It isn't going to be a conflict-free zone for anybody, but we're not going backwards. So, been a difficult couple of days, hasn't it? And I have found my mindfulness practices have been helpful because I don't want to give my peace of mind away to anyone. And if you'd like to work on peace of mind or other kinds of things that you think life coaching might help you with, give me a call or an email rather. You can contact me. We can talk about my work as a life coach and a communication coach. You can go to my website, which is mcguirelifecoach.com, mcguirelifecoach.com, or just email me at maryangelamcguire@gmail.com. That first conversation is always free because we're going to talk about what you'd like to achieve through coaching. Where is it that you feel stuck? Where is it that you feel maybe filled with conflict or anxiety or fear or negative thinking kind of has a hold on you, and it's difficult for you to see a different point of view, to get to a different vantage point? Let me help you find that vantage point. I'll describe my inquiry method that I use with clients, and we'll have a short session so that you can determine if working with me will serve your needs. So visit my website, mcguirelifecoach.com, email me at maryangelamcguire.com. Let's do the breath of joy, as some people call it, one more time before we go. I feel kind of wound up just from the show, so let's have a little bit more peace and clarity and focus in our lives. So hands to heart center, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, one more time. Final time, inhale. Thank you so much for listening to Nothing But Now today. Until next week, I hope that you will be curious about your mind. And I hope more than that, that you will be kind to yourself. I thank you so much for listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.